Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The word of God that engages us today is this verse from 1 Peter, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This Bible verse is the inspiration for one of Martin Luther's greatest contributions to the Protestant Reformation, which is the concept of the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers. St. Peter calls his readers a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And earlier in this chapter, he called them a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Not animal sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. It puts us in mind, perhaps, of what Paul wrote in Romans 12, where he said, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. But why does Peter call Christians priests? And what is the duty of this priesthood? We'll understand that we first need to consider that Peter's first readers, his first hearers, were Jewish Christians scattered throughout the Roman Empire by the diaspora. That's what he says in verse 1, chapter 1 of his letter. And those early Jewish Christians would have instantly recognized that Peter was riffing on a verse from the Old Testament, an idea from Exodus chapter 19. At the base of Mount Sinai, God spoke through the prophet Moses and told the Israelites, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Sounds very much like what Peter writes today, does it not? Where he calls them a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession? Yeah, that is what is in the back of Peter's mind as he writes to these people. Israel was called to be a light to the nations, or a reflection of God's holiness, God's mercy, God's goodness to the people around them. And that's why he instituted the priesthood of Aaron and his sons. Sometimes we call it the Aaronic priesthood. Not ironic, but Aaronic, Aaron. And the people would spend their entire lives in service to the Lord. The priests would bless the people. They would pray for the people. They would uphold the holiness codes. And they would offer the animal sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. But there were some very important restrictions upon this priesthood. I already mentioned that they had to be the descendants of Aaron. In particular, his sons and grandsons. No daughters, no granddaughters. Women were excluded from the priesthood. And no other family besides Aaron's family. No other tribe besides that of Levi. And even then, not all the Levites were permitted to serve in the priesthood. And anybody else who attempted to serve as a priest would be punished in very different, various ways. Some were killed for it. Uzziah was struck with leprosy for trying to carry out the duties of the priest. Saul was rejected as king over Israel because of trying to carry out the duties of the priest. And so all of this would be in the back of the mind of Peter's hearers when he first speaks of a holy and royal priesthood. But Peter does something revolutionary. He doesn't invoke the name of Aaron. He doesn't speak only of the sons of Aaron as priests, but he calls all of his readers priests. you. It's plural. It's, you know, we don't have a good plural in English for the second person plural, so you have to become a Texan for a moment to say, y'all are a chosen race. Y'all are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. And so Peter doesn't just mean those Jewish priests descended from Aaron. He means every single Christian brother and sister. Every believer, a priest in the kingdom of God. The reason is because when Jesus offered up his final sacrifice of himself on the cross as our great high priest and as the great sacrifice, he made way, he gave us access to God. His blood gives us the ability to experience God's presence and grace immediately without any kind of mediator, without any kind of barriers or bars. Remember that at the moment of Jesus' death, Matthew's gospel tells us the curtain, the veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place was ripped in two. It was ripped in two. No longer a separation between God and the people. And so the people of Israel no longer needed to go through the priests to get to God. They no longer needed the priests to offer sacrifices. And in fact, ever since the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD, there was no place where the sacrifices could even be made anymore. And so now all the people of God, regardless of whether you are Jew or Gentile, a descendant of Aaron or of anyone else, all believers are priests in the kingdom of God, called to intercede for our neighbors by praying for them, called to offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. You know, that song, Make a Joyful Noise to the Lord, Psalm 100, is one of my favorite Bible verses, and I like to joke and say some are noisier than others, as we saw with the kazoos today. But God wants to hear everybody, and so, you know, God wants a sacrifice of praise from you. And if you're one of those people who's like, well, I don't have a good voice, so I'm not going to sing in church. No, God wants to hear from you. Maybe the person sitting next to you doesn't, but God wants to hear from you as you make your joyful noise to the Lord. But this idea that all the people of God are priests was lost within just a few short centuries of Christianity. By the 4th century AD, the word priest was being used to refer to the clergy, only the clergy. And there was a hierarchy among the clergy. There were the bishops that oversaw the priests, and then there were the priests that carried out the day-to-day, week-to-week tasks of preaching, of administering the sacraments. And then there were deacons who were ordained to preach but did not administer the sacraments. And sometimes it helped visit the sick and things like that, but they did not baptize or serve the Lord's Supper. And so what happened was there became a creeping sacerdotalism in the church. Sacerdotalism means that you put a huge emphasis on the importance of priests and of a priesthood. And what happened was that, you know, the Bible has many words for the role of pastor, elder, bishop, overseer, shepherd. Priest is not one of them. Priest is not one of them. And in fact, Jesus actually tells his disciples in the Gospels, have no one call you Father, for you have but one Father who is in heaven. And yet they elevated this small, select group of men, called them priests, and took away the rights and the duties of priesthood that belonged to all Christians. And more than 1,000 years went by like that. Well, soon after Martin Luther began the Protestant Reformation, or opened Pandora's box, depending on your perspective, He translated the Bible into the language of the people. And once they had the Bible in words that they could understand and read for themselves instead of Latin, which only the priests and sometimes lawyers were trained in, once they had the Bible in a language they could understand, the people rediscovered this wonderful concept of the priesthood of all believers. Luther was a champion of the lay people, of the Christian lay people, and all that they had to offer to the life of the church. Listen to some of the things he wrote. A priest, particularly in the New Testament, must be born, not made. He is not ordained. He is created. However, he is not born of the flesh, but of the Spirit, of the water and the Spirit and the washing of regeneration. You'll recognize that as the baptism language from Titus chapter 3. Therefore, all Christians are priests, and all priests are Christians. Let me say that again. All Christians are priests, and all priests are Christians. In another place, he writes, every baptized Christian is a priest already, not by appointment, not by ordination of the Pope or any other man, but by God himself who has given birth to him in baptism. And so Martin Luther lifted up this office of the priesthood of all believers, and he shined light on it for the first time in centuries. And he was just going back to Scripture, just going back to the Word of God, to what Peter says here, y'all are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The proclamation of God's word, of the gospel, is not just for the pastor. It says that all of God's people are priests who are called to proclaim his excellencies, to tell everyone how wonderful and marvelous our Messiah is. All of the wonderful things that Christ has done for us by dying to forgive us of sin, by rising to give us eternal life, and by coming again someday to put the world to rights. And so, dear people of God, you don't have to go through a pastor or a priest to gain access to God, because you already have access as a priest. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You don't have to go through another person to get to God, because your baptism makes you his child and a priest and gives you direct access to the Father. And that means that every one of you has an important contribution to make to the life of the church. It would be impossible for me to carry out all the tasks in our congregation. My job description is 3 pages long. There's not really much more that we can put on there. And as we heard in our reading from Acts chapter 6 today, there is more work in the church than 12 people can do, right? Because the apostles, when there was a concern about the Greek-speaking Jewish Christian ladies in the church not getting as much to eat as the Hebrew-speaking Jewish Christian ladies in the church, they decided that they needed to appoint some people to take care of that. And so they appointed, they elected the seven, right? Stephen and those others. And so the pastors couldn't do it all, and they shouldn't. They needed help from the congregation. And the congregation needs to help. The congregation needs to help, not just so that things go more swimmingly for the clergy. The congregation needs to help because that is your calling as a priest, to love and serve others, to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There is more work than can be done in our church by the elected council and the elders. Everyone has a part to play. Sometimes people say that in the church, there's kind of like an 80-20 principle or an 80-20 rule. Have you ever heard of that before? 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people? I said that recently, I think it was at a council meeting, and somebody said, oh no, Pastor, here it's 90-10. 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. And so if you're part of that 90% that's not yet doing the work, it's time to step up to the plate and get your hands dirty and put on an apron and serve tables in the kingdom of God. There are a lot of ways that you can serve. Last night, I listed a bunch, and then somebody came up after church and said, now, Pastor, don't forget that I need a lot of help, too. I said, okay, we'll do your plug tomorrow. So, but our church council is looking for a treasurer, for a chairperson for the board of property, and a chairperson for the board of safety and security. Some of the men in the congregation are going to be approached by our elders, and they're going to be asked to serve in that capacity, overseeing the spiritual well-being of our congregation. And I know what some of you guys are going to say. You're going to either say you're not worthy or you don't have enough time. Well, let me tell you, all the guys who serve as elders on our board of elders have full-time jobs. They have families. They are just as busy as you are. And half of them travel for work during the week. So don't just push it off with just a, I can't do it, not me. And you know, we also need lectors to read the scriptures. We need greeters to welcome people. And then here's the plug that I was supposed to make. We need people to serve on the altar guild. We are, almost everybody serving on altar guild wants to serve on Saturday night. Their regular service they attend is Saturday night. Only one person on the altar guild currently is a Sunday morning goer. And think about that. One person to get communion ready for the 8 o'clock service and the 11 o'clock service. One person to clean up after the 8 o'clock service and get ready for the next one. One person to do that. Maybe you can be the next person that helps with that. We need people to serve snacks, people to visit the sick, people to pray, people to help at funerals, people to weed the flower beds, people to mow the fields, that people to change the light bulbs. Dan has that covered most of the time. That was his bright idea. But you know, maybe there will be a day when Dan can't climb a ladder or Dan is on vacation at Rocky Mountain National Park. How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Who said anything about change? Well, my point is, we all have a vital contribution to make. And to say that we're too old or too young or too sick or too busy is just a cop-out. Because by the grace of God, we have been called out of the domain of darkness into God's kingdom of light so that we together can proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us. Now, this might be my pulpit, but you have a pulpit too. And your pulpit and your service is not just what you do at church, but what you do with your life. The various callings, the vocations that God has laid on your life, those are some of the exercises of your priesthood. Where you work, where you live, where you play, where you learn, those are all places where God has called you to love your neighbor, to pray for them, to help them in whatever opportunities present themselves. Because you are that chosen race, that holy nation, that royal priesthood. You are priests. It is a privilege, and it is also a duty. And it comes to us only by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.